In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, if you're excited to be here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm excited to be here tonight. I'm excited to always be in God's house, and I'm just excited to preach this evening. You know, I got 4 shots of espresso in me, a bottle of Mountain Dew, and I'm just excited. But if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. While you're going there, I got a little funny story. If you were here this morning, you know, a preacher came up here and he said, well, some little kid in junior church, brand new, had this statement to say, I want to pray for my mom because she's getting old. And you know, the first person that popped my mind was my son. And I said, no, I don't think he knows, you know, what old is. But come to find out, my son actually did say that. So, yeah, you know, my wife's not in here, so I can say this. She is getting old. But I come to say this is, you know, it's funny what little, you know, the kids say. You know, imagine what they think about all you guys. So just keep that in mind, all right? But you know, I don't know. I enjoy family time, and it's just my son. He cracks me up, and he runs around the house, drives me wild. But that's why I have to have all this espresso and all this Mountain Dew, and you know. But anyway, we'll move on. But Matthew chapter 26, if you could, if stand and honor God's word, we're gonna read 10 verses here. We're gonna start in verse 36, and we're going to read through 46 here. Matthew 26, verses 36 is where we're going to start. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gathasium, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took him with Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I have this underlined. This is a point I want to look at, is he says, and watch with me. But let's keep moving on. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. 46 says, rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful evening in your house, and thank you for your word and just how true it is. And Lord, I ask that you would hide me behind your cross, that you would just speak through me, that it wouldn't just be me speaking, that it's you. Lord, I ask that somebody can get something out of this tonight, and Lord, that they can apply it to their lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, the title to my message tonight is wake up and pay attention. You know, I bring that story up to my son of him running around the house. Is, you know, sometimes I just want to sleep because he wears me out. It's almost like a dog or a cat because they wander. My dog just constantly goes back and forth to the house. And my dog's name is Ollie. And I'm like, Ollie, just lay down, just lay down. And she's just going back and forth. My son's the same way. Today he had a sock on his hand, and he's sitting running around and going nuts. And I'm like, why do you got a sock on your hand, kid? And I got boo-boo. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, man. But we need to wake up and pay attention. You say, well, why is that? Well, in verse 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, sometimes we're wore out. The Bible says our flesh is weak. You know, it's very easy for us to get wore out. If it's just a normal, typical work day, you know, I tell you what, knocking down this wall Wednesday night, you know, I didn't do a lot of work, to be honest with you. Brother Jeremy did a lot of it, and just watching him wore me out. I mean, I did a little bit of work. I wasn't just lazy, but I sat there and I was like, Jeremy, you're a hardworking man. And he got done, and he's all sweaty, and I'm sure he probably went home, took a shower, and, you know, wore him out that he went to sleep. But we see here that the willingness that we need to understand is a spirit indeed is willing, but anybody that is saved has a part of them that is willing. If you're saved, you have the willing that you want to be closer to God. If you're saved, you have the willing that you want to be in God's house when the doors are open. If you're saved, then you are willing to go out and tell others about who God is. But this is a huge statement here. Jesus was talking to saved men. Make no mistake, lost people's spirit is not willing because it's dead. You know, the people that we go out and witness to when we go out on Thursday to grow, and hopefully you're not just going out on Thursdays to witness to somebody. Hopefully you're going out through the week. But, you know, when you're going out to witness somebody, you don't know if that person, if their soul is dead or if it's alive. Because you never know until you talk to somebody. You know, it's kind of cool when you go up to other people that has like-minded faith and they say, oh, yeah, I already accepted Christ. And they're like, oh, sweet, now we got something in common. But you won't know until you ask that question. But earlier, I sit here and say it to the youth, but I hear a lot of people say this all the time, the famous words here. I wanted to be in church, but. You can put anything after that but. Well, I had some sports practice. Well, you know, the football season is about to start. The Bengals play at 1, and, you know, it kind of goes until 4. And then I'm wore out because sometimes the Bengals win, sometimes they lose. And then you get mad, and you don't want to come to church because you have a bad spirit. Or, you know, maybe it's just because you're just lazy and you don't want to come. But you can keep on, whatever you want to put on that. I wanted to be in church, but. But if they are lost, they didn't even want to be in church. Now, if you're saved, at least you have that thought, man, I wanted to go, but. But it's just like what Brother Xavier said this morning, is if you're saved and you actually love the Lord and you're 100% saved, then you're always going to want to be in God's house. You want to have the intentions on reading God's Word. You're not going to sit there and say, I'm too lazy to do so. No, because you want to learn more about God's Word. You want to know more about what God did, where He came from, why He came. You know, it's amazing on how awesome our God is. But if they were saved and they wanted to be in church, they would have put forth more effort. You know, maybe this is just me. It don't take a lot of effort to come in God's house besides getting in your vehicle and just showing up. You know, God's house is very important. As you see the things going on, obviously a lot of us, we choose to be in God's house because the church is too small, so we have to knock out not just drywall walls, but brick walls, cinder block walls, just so we can extend. And praise God for that. We have to, you know, cover up the pavilion out there so we can be out there. We have to buy new things because people care so much about God. But the next thing we got to remember is that, are we telling others? Are we putting, I'm from Assurance Baptist Church, and I want you to be here this Sunday. Are we putting in the effort, or are we just letting it go? And so on and so forth. The spirit within us draws us and moves us toward God and toward spiritual things, but there's a part deep within every believer that is willing. There is something within every child of God that wants to do right. There is something within every child of God that wants to please God, but that we can understand. But the weakness that we underestimate, but the flesh is weak. Peter and the other disciples seriously underestimated the weakness of his flesh. Sit there and you see 35. And let's go back up to, let's go up to 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. I'll never be offended. But then we see Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus already knows. But he said, if you go back to the verse, he says, though men be offended, but because of thee, yet I will never be offended. But then we see Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then you go to 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Or, I always say this word. Sorry, I can't say that word. But and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. You know, you see there, Paul said it like this in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And if you go over to Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, aka this is in my flesh, dwell no good thing, for two will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You know, our flesh is just, there's nothing good in us. But we got, if we're saved, we're going to come to God's house. We're going to sit there and say, hey, I need to be in God's house. And for me to sit here, and this is the pre-message before the message, if we're going to be excited to come in God's house, we're not going to be asleep. We're going to be awake and ready to learn. We're going to be, all right, what's next? I want the meat. Instead of just saying, check mark, I made it for the Sunday. Check mark, I made it for Wednesday. Check mark, oh, I witnessed to one person this week. You know, we should be excited for the things of God. You sit there and you see the disciples were in their last year of Bible college, for say. They had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They were about to be given the Great Commission, but they were oblivious. It is possible, just possible, that if these three disciples in the very presence of Jesus could be this clueless, that maybe, just maybe, one of us in here tonight would could be desperate in need of a message titled, Wake Up and Pay Attention. So let's get to it. Number one this evening is the selection that was special. The 12 disciples were handpicked out of all men of Israel. The inner three circle was picked out of the remaining 11 to accompany Jesus to the garden to pray. Think of it this way, is that imagine being out of 8 billion people that these three men got picked to be with Jesus. Imagine how important that is. Imagine sitting there just think that out of all these people that Jesus says, yep, I want these three to be with me. And they messed it up. They still messed it up. And you say, well, how's that? Well, let's look. Going through, let's look here on the very first thing, verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? He was asleep. Jesus says, all you got to do is just pray with me. And then here comes Peter just snoozing away. And Jesus says, are you guys kidding me? You fall asleep when I ask you to pray with me? Imagine going being with Jesus and he says, hey, would you pray with me? And then, you know, you're just, oh, I'm tired. It's been a long, exhausting day walking and talking to people. But you're with Jesus. Just imagine that. Imagine if you could actually walk with Jesus side by side and let's just pray. And you fall asleep. You mess it up. But all the people in the world that were privileged in the place was these three men. And out of all the people in the world that are saved, very few have access to the truth and church that we have. But yet, we see there that he falls asleep. Let's read a few more verses. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time. He says, guys, wake up. Let's go pray again. And let's keep going. He says there in 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. Imagine being that person. You mess it up not one time, but two times. And then he says, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying in the same words, then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. So now you can sleep. I just wanted you guys to come pray. But Notice the contrast in their heaviness. Jesus was very heavy over spiritual things. They were heavy over physical things. You sit there and you think, Jesus is about to be sacrificed here. He's about to be hung. And all he's trying to do is just pray. He already knew what was going to happen. But I don't think the disciples, the men that he picked, I don't think they believed him exactly. He already told Peter, hey, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter says, no, I'm a man of God. I followed you this long. Why would I lie? But Jesus was heavy over the things of God. They were heavy over the things of man. Jesus was heavy over eternal things, and they were heavy over temporal things. And Jesus was heavy over unprecedented things, but they were heavy over, and you could keep going on and on and on. Think of all the things that was going through Jesus' mind, all the things that he had to do so that we could have eternal life in heaven. Why these 3 men says, nothing matters at this moment because I need to rest my eyes. But it's time that if we just wake up and pay attention to the things of God and the things that he wants us to do, just like I told the youth this morning, is that I believe that there's some youth that might be called to ministry and they're not ready to take the leap of faith. I believe that there might be some people in the youth that might be called to missions, but they're not ready to take the leap of faith. There might be somebody in here tonight that says, oh, maybe I'm called to be a missionary. Maybe I'm called to ministry, but you're not ready to take that next step of faith. You're sleeping right now. And it's just like these 3 men, they're just, whatever. And they're ready to go to sleep. You know, all the things that we do in life, you know, whatever, if you work 40 hours a week, if you work 80 hours a week, if you work 120 hours a week, but there still has to be time and a place for you get on your hands and knees and pray to the God Almighty. There should be a time and place that you're reading God's Word because, you know, work is just worldly things. This right here is a forever thing. And as we sit here and, you know, see these 3 men sleeping because they were tired of, I'm sure they had a long walks and they're talking to going from city to city to all these people. But the thing is that Jesus asked them, follow me and I want you to pray with me. Follow me. My question is, would you be the one that could follow Jesus and not fall asleep? Could you follow Jesus and actually take that leap of faith? Just like we're talking about taking a leap of faith and whatever it is, if it's a new job, if it's going into ministry, if it's moving to a new house, if it's maybe a relationship, if it's whatever God put in your hand, that if you just take the leap of faith, would you do it? But the point I want to make is this, that they were completely oblivious to what was causing the Son of God such sorrow. I'm appalled at how few people today seem to notice what grieves God. God is grieved by the things going on, and the people of God are many times completely oblivious. God is grieved, the man of God is grieved, and the people in the pew have no clue. But the spiritual condition of the young people, the state of your marriage, and the sin that crept into the church. A lot of us, we just think coming into God's house that, you know, everybody's okay. You know, there's a song I was listening to on my way to church this evening by Matthew. I can't think of his last name, but the song was saying, I'm okay, or people think I'm okay, but in all reality that I'm not. And I just kind of summed it up. I can't think of what it's called. I'm talking about it. It just came to my mind. But sometimes when we sit and we're listening to God's word, the preacher that's preaching, we don't think of anybody else besides us. We're asleep. We're not paying attention to anything else besides what I want. And this is me. Sometimes I just sit in the chair and I'm listening to preacher. And sometimes whatever preacher's preaching, it is for me. But sometimes there's people in this audience tonight that says, man, I'm struggling with something. And we're too prideful sometimes to say, I need help. And the thing is, sometimes that's me. Sometimes I think I can accomplish everything, but I can't accomplish everything, one, if I don't have God in it. And I can't accomplish everything if sometimes when things are more than what I can handle, if I don't ask for help. There's times when we're too asleep, we're too prideful, we're trying to do everything all our own, but in all reality we can't because we're not God. God can do whatever he wants with us. He can use us for whatever he wants. But the thing is, we have to allow him. We can't be sleeping. We can't be lazy. We have to be ready. The famous thing I said before was the acronym FAT. faithful, dang it, I can't think of the middle one. I'll get to it. I'll come back to that. But anyway, but number three is the situation that was serious. Traitors were working overtime, but men were busy betraying the Son of God. The clock was ticking and the hour was at hand. And let's read verse 45. He says, then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Every Old Testament prophecy pointed to this one event. We read all, if you're a Bible reader, I'm sure you've read through the whole Bible, and every prophecy goes to this one thing. Jesus is going to be crucified on the cross. Jesus is going to be beaten. His hair is going to be plucked. He's going to be whipped. He's going to be betrayed. All these things are going to happen. But next is the entire ministry of Christ was just for this one hour. Imagine walking and going through the whole ministry and knowing that you're going to be beaten and whipped and your hair and your beard and everything plucked and all this just for this one hour. But then Jesus came to earth for this one hour and they were asleep. He did all this work. I'm not saying that, you know, Jesus didn't. He did it just for these three guys, but he trusted these three guys. Out of all those 8 billion people, he had all these followers, and he picked these three. He did all this stuff for this one hour. He went and witnessed to the Samaritan lady because he knew that he was going to end up coming to this. He knew that people needed God. He knew that people was either going to go to heaven or to hell, and he chose for them to go to heaven because he didn't want to go to hell. And he did all this for the one hour. But verse 56, it says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It's a very sad thing. They forsook him and fled. Are you kidding? Spiritual warfare was raging. Denial of even knowing Jesus was minutes away. Verse 70 says, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. All this for the one hour. He knew all this was going to happen. Imagine all the weight on Jesus' shoulders. And he still had to carry the cross. Imagine all the weight that the sins that you guys cannot give to God that he's carrying every day. Imagine all the things that you guys do, including myself, if it's Bible reading, if it's prayer time, if it's witnessing, if it's cussing, if it's drinking, whatever it may be, that you won't give it all to God because you're too prideful, saying, I can do this, I can stop one day, I can stop drinking, I can stop cussing. You will never be able to do it until you give it all to God. Amen. But we got to be non-prideful. We got to be less prideful. Excuse me. Number four is the sleeping that was shameful. God created man to sleep. Praise God. I love sleep. You know, I like to sleep in, and, you know, sometimes I tell my wife, hey, you got the kids this morning? Because, man, I had a hard day at work. You know, sometimes she says, no. And so, you know, now she used the excuse. A lot of you guys know, but maybe you don't, but now she uses the excuse that I'm pregnant and that I'm not getting out of bed. You're up. And I say, well, I guess you got me this time, but next time I'm sleeping in. But there's nothing wrong with sleep if you have a lazy day. But it is where they were sleeping and when they were sleeping that makes this so shameful. There are multiple indications of how shameful their sleeping was in the story. Jesus had specifically asked them to watch and pray with him in verse 38. He says, saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. All they had to do was sit there and watch, pray with them. But, you know, disease were more important than anything else. He could not have been any more clear in his request. He had spent the last 3.5 years serving others, asking nothing for himself. He didn't have anywhere to lay his head. But he asked them to watch and pray with him, and they slept. Excuse me. They slept. My question for you tonight, church, is, are you sleeping? Are you ready to do all you can to serve the Lord? Or can you say, you know what? I've been struggling with whatever sin you've been struggling with. Tonight is the night that you can say, God, you can have it all because I don't want to be sleeping. Some of us, you know, we're going to be sleeping when he comes. We're not going to put in the work. Some of us are just flat out lazy. We don't want to do nothing just because that's just, you know, who we are. But the thing is you don't have to be lazy. It's a harsh statement, but the thing is that God gave us two hands, two arms, two feet, two legs. That there's a video I watched that, you know, he was sitting there watching or talking about a car that this guy had, a Camaro something SS. And the guy's like, oh, I got an SS too. And he says, oh, really? What kind? He says, shoes and socks. We all got some shoes and socks and we all can go. God gave us a mouth and a tongue. And, you know, some of us have some fabulous smiles, a.k.a. not myself. I just have an okay smile. But and then some of us have, you know, some good teeth and some, you know, good breath. I have okay breath and I have okay teeth. But we all have all shoes and socks and we all can come up and say, hey, you know, I'm from Assurance Baptist Church. And I would love for you to have a seat and, you know, enjoy the wonderful sermons that Pastor Bryson Thompson preaches, that from the Word of God that is true and that he preaches the truth. And I'd love for you to come and visit one day and sit with me on a Sunday. You know, that SS version is a wonderful thing. I love the SS, the shoes and socks. I'll tell you what, they get me pretty far in life. But we got to use them. But he asks them to watch and pray. But notice the response of Jesus in verse 40. I love this. He says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Some of us are scrolling on Facebook for 1 hour. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes we're watching a movie for 2.5 hours. That's not me. If I watch movies, I'm sleeping. Me and Megan, and we just had Braxton at the time. We went to the movie drive-in off 49. We had two boxes of pizza, a box of buffalo wings, and a box of cinnamon bread. Hand under the Bible. Mainly myself. We ate it all. And I'll tell you what. It came about, you know, the movie started about 9:45. Both of us. And we had the dog with us, by the way. We woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning. We looked around us and we said, "Woo, that was a good movie, huh?" And we looked behind us and praise God that the end game was still planned. And anybody that knows the end game was like 3 billion years long. And, it, you know, thankfully, you know, we kind of were the oddballs on the other screen. They have two screens for the ones that never been to Melody 49 or whatever it's called now. But I was like, huh. Well, I guess it's time to go home and finish our Z's at home. And then, no, we didn't have Braxton then. But it was just us. And then we said, oh, you know what, Braxton, you know, might watch this. So we went back. This time, we had one large pizza, some cinnamon bread, and a 2-liter pop. Handle the Bible again. We ate it all. And then, we didn't even watch through the commercials of movie number one. We just literally paid just to go to sleep. So, literally, movies make me fall asleep, just so you guys know. But, in verse 40, the expression there, he says, what? You know, sometimes Braxton will look at me, and I'll say the same thing. What do you want? Why do you keep looking at me like that? And he'll sit there and just cheese him. And then sometimes he'll have something behind his back. And I'm like, what do you got in your hand? Nothing, Dad. Nothing. I'm like, no, what do you got in your hand? Your money? You know, I don't know who's teaching my kid to take money from me, but me and you are going to have to talk after, you know, the service tonight. But he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Twice he came to them and woke them up, but they kept sleeping. In Luke 22, the Bible tells us in verse 43 that there appeared an angel unto him from heaven strengthening him. But imagine having to send an angel all the way from heaven to minister to Jesus because the inner circle was asleep. That's a sad thing. That's like, you know, you're a boss at work and, you know, you're trying to get your employees to do something and they won't do it. So you have to get somebody from an outside circle to come and do the work because your inner circle were too lazy to do something. These same three people here sleeping. So an angel had to come and help, had to be there for him. But make no mistake, Judas Iscariot wasn't asleep. The chief priests and the Pharisees were not asleep. The Roman soldiers were not asleep. But the inner circle was asleep. Church, tonight, some of us are asleep and we're too knocked out to be able to think of the things of Christ because, well, we had a bad day or we had a long day. But the thing is that you see all the people of the world that they never sleep because they're ready to see us fail day in and day night because half of us are failing because we're asleep. Tonight was time to wake up. It's time to do things of God and take that leap of faith or whatever it is and start doing it. Luke 22:44-46 says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Verse 46 says, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Can you imagine the Son of God asking you to pray with him and the blood running down his face and you still won't wake up and pay attention? All these things are going on in life. And yes, life is hard. Life beats you up, and especially when you come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible doesn't say it gets any easier. He says it gets harder. So think on that. There's a song I listened to. The very first thing I posted on Facebook is, you know, I got saved and I see all these Christians that aren't about that life. It's a sad thing. Is there's so many Christians out there that say, oh, I'm saved, but yet they won't put in the work for Christ. We see that there's still the three same people here. They fell asleep, and some of us are just like these three people that are falling asleep. All he wants us is our attention. He wants us to sit there and focus on him. Because if you're saved, when we all get to heaven, that's all. Guess what we're doing? Praise ye, praise ye. I'm not going to try singing. Or I can go, holy, holy, holy. But again, I'm not going to sing. But, but some have said it wasn't blood, but sweat as there were great drops of blood. But I believe it was blood. But either way, sweat or blood, they still didn't wake up and pay attention. The Apostle Paul admonished the church with these words. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 4-8, it says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. See, there as I was a kid and growing up, Mr. Bob Osborne, I helped him in Sunday school, and he always brought this verse up to the kids. He says, only bad things happen at night. All we should be doing at night, and you know, unless you're an adult and working third shift, you should be sleeping. You shouldn't be up in hours a night because the Bible even says, people that want to get drunk, they stay up night. That's when all the wickedness happened. I got this, if anybody has Ring, the little Ring notification drives me nuts because it's always, oh, my cat got out. Someone please, if you see my cat, please let me know. And then there's a lot of theft. But the thing is you see all the things that happen at night. Theft, people driving drunk, a lot of times at night. You think of all the bars, people leaving from the bars that are drunk. You can go on and on and on of the things that happen at night. But he says there at verse 5, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. During the day, we should be doing the work of God. Amen. We shouldn't be like the people at night. But if Jesus was standing here tonight with sweat and blood running down his face, would that be enough to convince you to wake up and pay attention? You know, I'm glad that I serve a wonderful Savior. I'm just a no good nobody that God loved. And that said, you know what? I want to die for you so that you can go to heaven. And the cool thing, it wasn't just for me. It's for you, 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 it's for everybody in this world. But the thing is that we got to wake up and say, man, I serve amazing God, and that, you know, maybe I do need to do something. Maybe I do need to surrender all my whole body instead of just a little bit. There's times when, again, we go on and on with our day, and we got friends, and we got people in the world that we hang out with that aren't even, you know, nice people. We're too afraid to put them to the side and say, man, I'm serving a wonderful King, and I don't need you in my life to run me down. Either you get on this boat or you kick rocks. And that's a harsh statement, especially if you've been with that so-called friend since you grew up. You know, like I tell the youth, I had a lot of friends growing up, and I once I got saved and I told my friends, look, guys, I don't party, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do that no more. Either you get on this boat and you ride with me or we done. You know how many people rode with me?
That's okay.
Big zero. But the cool thing is I know from God's word, he says, hey, from the book of John, once you love me and you follow me, life's going to get hard. And that's okay. Because I know, you know, Christ will never leave or forsake me. Same for you. And that's what we got to get in our heads. If I can have eyes closed, head bowed. You know, tonight, church, like I said, I'm excited. I could